Okay, we're going to be in Ecclesiastes. So when you find that, stand with me. We'll read our text, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're closing in on finishing up the book of Ecclesiastes. We have today's message, and from what I can tell, we have one more, and then we will be transitioning to the next book that God has for us. Ecclesiastes 12, beginning in verse number 8. Okay, Solomon says, beginning in verse 8, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright. Even words of truth." I love that last phrase, even words of truth. "The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." Now verse 12. "And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." We're going to be talking about this. God can move your soul. You know, we want to be moved, and we like to be moved. I mean, moved emotionally. We like to be touched. And God does move us emotionally. And there are things that we experience at church and in the things of God that move us emotionally. But we don't want just some kind of an emotional moving, do we? We want God to move our soul. And that's what we're going to talk about, how God does that and what we can focus on in our life to be sure that we're in a position where no matter where we are in life, we're in a place where God can move our soul. And so that's what we'll talk about. Father, we love you this morning. We're grateful for your word. I pray you'd guide us in your path. Help us to be faithful to you and to love you with all our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Ever feel like you just get stuck? I mean, stuck. Maybe, there's some kind of a struggle that you're having emotionally, and you get stuck there. This a thought in your mind, and you want to shake it. We tease Miss Sarah because we watch this we got our families together, and we watch this movie called Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Raise your hand if you've seen that. Okay, I'm in the right crowd right now. Okay, that's a classic. It's a good one, right? So we watched that, and one of the songs, this is not in my notes, okay. One of the songs in that movie is Sobbing Women, you know, those sobbing women. Those of you who've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. So it's just a catchy little tune. So my boys, they would go about after that, and they would start singing about those sobbing women, right? And Miss Sarah's like, no, because it's one of those tunes that gets in your mind, and you're just humming it and thinking about it. And finally, you're not thinking about it. And then Ethan comes along and goes, don't forget about those sobbing women, you know? No, and then it's back there. You get stuck. So what I'm trying to say is sometimes we get stuck. Things get stuck in our mind. A discouraging thought, a discouraging experience, or you know, a sin, or some kind of anger, something that's making us angry. And we get stuck there, and it seems like we can't get out of it. I remember when I was in high school, I would put air conditioners in with my stepdad, Ron, and one time it had been raining, and when you're just driving all around the state and the community, sometimes you want to shake it up, and because it gets a little boring, and it had been raining, and some of the back roads were real muddy in the place where we lived, in the town where we lived. And I would avoid, when it had rained, you avoid these roads. Well, Ron says, hey, let's go on one of these back roads. You know, like, I'm thinking, let's do it. Let's go see what happens. We're in the big brown conversion van. Remember those conversion, huge, like a giant tank. It's the one that I backed into a tree with. And then after I did that, you couldn't even tell that I backed into a tree. You know, so we pull this brown conversion van onto this muddy, extremely muddy back road. And we're, you know, it's like we're mudding on this back road in this giant brown conversion van. And we get about halfway and we get stuck. and we're stuck all the way up to the axles in this thing. And he gets me out. Ron says, get out and push, you know. So I'm out there in the mud. I'm trying to push this thing. It's going nowhere. So finally we call a farmer. And he comes, farmer with his flatbed truck, and he pulls in there, dually four-wheel drive, and hooks his straps up. And it was pretty awesome to watch that dually pull that thing out of the mud. You know, like I was saying, we get stuck. It is true that we get stuck, and it feels like when we get there, we can't get out. And what we need is God to, back in there and hook his straps up to us and pull us out of it. And so that's what we're going to talk about, is how God pulls us out of those, you know, those times when we feel like we're just stuck and we can't get out of it. And what are the straps that God uses? How does he hook up to us and pull us out of those seasons? And you know why we need this, church family? We need this because we're going to be there. The devil is going to make sure that he sends things your way to make you feel stuck. He wants you to be hindered. He wants you to feel discouraged. He wants you to feel that you cannot move forward and you might as well give up. You might as well stop. But if you have the tools, if you know what to do or where to put yourself or who to call so that they can show up with the dually four-wheel drive and hook those straps up to you and pull you out of it, then you would constantly have that phone number on speed dial, wouldn't you? And you would put yourself in a position to always be ready to be pulled out of those seasons. And that's what this is all about. And I think this is an amazing way to close the book, to bring Ecclesiastes to a close. Like, oh, I've given you all of these great principles and truths. Now, when you have those seasons, when you feel like you just get back stuck to where you used to be, then let's pull this back out and let's take a look at this. And these will be the straps that will help you. So let's look at that. Look at verse number 8 again. He says, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. So why is he starting off? This seems negative. It feels, you know, almost the words themselves feel like there's really no hope. There's no chance for you. All is vanity. Why even try? But that's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is outside of the information we are going to get from God and outside of the help that we're going to get from God, everything else is vanity. In other words, the help that you need and the things that are going to strengthen us and get us through the things that we need help with, we're not going to get it from this world. We're going to get it from the things of God. We're going to get it from God, or we're not going to get it at all. And why would we need this? Why would we need this reminder? It seems as though we hear this a lot, right? But we need these reminders. Why? Because we don't often go to the right source to get the help we need. First of all, I think sometimes we internalize things and we say we don't need any help. And that's not true at all. We do need help. But then, you know, sometimes we're not willing to admit that we need help. We internalize it and we think that we can handle it and we're going to be our own help. We're going to strengthen ourselves through it. But that never works out. You'll always find that you're not just stagnant, but you're getting more and more entrenched, deeper and deeper, more and more stuck up to the axles. Sometimes we go to the wrong sources. So maybe we admit we need help, but we go to the wrong people. How many times have I in the past counseled people and they or wanted to help people and they would speak to the problems or struggles they're having, but to respond to those struggles, they're going to go to a psychologist or to a psychiatrist and not even give God a chance to try to give them guidance. Not even give God a chance to back the dually up and hook some straps up to pull them out, but go straight to the source of this world. And I'll tell you, you can try to do it your way. You can internalize it. You can go to the world. But here's what you'll find each and every time. And so often this happens to us, that what we'll find is what verse number 8 says. It was all vanity. It was all empty and meaningless. It didn't bring us any of the help or hope that we hoped that it would. And so that's what he's saying there. Now look at verse number 9. He says, moreover, because the preacher was wise, so now we're talking about wisdom, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So now he's talking about where is there a ring in this?
Yes.
Good night.
We couldn't get it. We tried.
Where's Brother Larry? Do you have Brother? Can I use your thing? Let's try Brother Larry's. Maybe his doesn't have a little ring-a-doo in it. Last resort, carry one of those handhelds. Let's see if this. Does this have a ring in it? Test. Is this better? Okay. We need a little sign that somebody can hold up. Your mic's messed up. If I was back there, if there's a red button, just push that. Who knows what'll happen? Maybe that'll work. Okay, let's give this a try. Hopefully this is a little better. All right, we're in verse number 9. So the preacher was wise. That has a ring in it too. Good night. Let's pray right now, this stupid devil. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your help and the microphone that you would just help that the ringing would go away. And we'll give you glory for what you do in this. In Jesus' name, amen. You don't let it distract you, and I won't let it distract me. I'm just going to come down here. Let's see what happens. Okay. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. So what we have is God saying that he's going to teach the people knowledge. How's that going to happen? We're going to get it from his word, right? That's where knowledge comes from. It comes from the word of God. Now, here's what Solomon is saying. I'm going to deliver the help that you need, the straps that are going to pull you out of that rut or what you get stuck in. And in that process, you need to understand where the help you're going to need and the help that you're actually going to help you. And it's not going to be vanity of vanities. It's going to be God's word or it's going to be nothing. It's God's word that's going to offer this to you. And that's what I'm delivering to you. So he says, I'm the preacher and I have the help that you need. The help isn't coming from me. The help is coming from God. I'm going to deliver you God's word. Look what he says. He says still, he's the preacher. He was wise. Wisdom comes from God. He said he taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heat and sought out in order many proverbs. Then he said this in verse 10. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That which was written was upright. We might ask Andrew over in youth class or something. Those guys know how it works. So, man, I'm sorry, church family. It is what it is. So it says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. So that last phrase is key. Words of truth. This is telling us where, this is telling us not just where it came from, that it came from God, but that it's authoritative. That's the word I want you to think about with me, okay? Authoritative. And that's what we need. We need something that isn't somebody's opinion. We need something that has authority. And if you're going to have something in your life that's going to help you get out of the ruts and the things that we get stuck in, the sins or whatever it is, it's going to have the authority of God. And that's what Solomon is saying. This is where the answers are. The answers are in God's word, the truth, and this is where the authority is. Now, what he says next in verse number 11 is where really the power is. Okay, now look at verse number 11 with me. It says, the words of the wise are as goads. Now let's talk about that for a minute. Goads were used in driving cattle. Whenever you have an ox or an oxen, we talked about this when Paul was kicking against the pricks, remember that? So the idea there is that the farmer would prick the oxen, and he would prick them because they're straying from the path. Like if they're farming a field and they're plowing a field, the ox would get off of its path, and then the ox goad would be a sharp, long rod with a sharp object on the end, or maybe just carved so that it was sharp on the end. And the farmer would prick the oxen, and it would be to bring him back to where he needed to be. So God is saying, I'll use my word to prick you. I'll use my word to help you to stay on the path you need to be. And we need that, don't we? We need to be in a place where God is revealing to us that we're on the wrong path. And we need to get ourselves back. That seems better. Is that better? Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm going to go back up here. Okay, so so the ox goads were used to drive the cattle to keep them on the path they needed to be on. God says, I'll use my word in the same way in your life. Okay? By the way, can I go ahead and say that's part of how we know that this is part of how we can know that God is working in our life, that he hasn't given up on us, that we're on the wrong path. It's the pricking of God. It's the goading of God. This is part of being able to be right and being hooked up to the straps, is God saying, you're on the wrong road. You're not going the right way. I mean, I know that you're part of the herd, and, you know, as like a shepherd would be driving the sheep, or really leading the sheep. You can't drive sheep, you have to lead them. But sometimes they would get off and stray away, and there would be a goad, and the farmer would goad the sheep to, you know, prick them and bring them back. It would happen at times, mostly with oxen. But it was all to say, you're not going the right way. And we need God to do that in our life. And we get off, like we mentioned a minute ago, we get off and we get stuck and we want things to be right, but then we try to approach correction in our life the wrong way. We try to do it our way. Or we go to the wrong resources. But no. What we need can only come from God. You'll not find any answers in this world. It'll all end up vanity. You'll just be frustrated with the entire process, is what he's saying in verse 12. You'll just run yourself to exhaustion. You know, every resource, look at verse 12 with me. Let me show you that. He said, and further, by these, my son, be admonished, the words of God, of many books there is no end, and much studying is weariness in the flesh. So in other words, you study books, you go to the resources out there, and here's what you'll find, weariness of flesh. Why? Because there's no answers there. You know, it'll offer some kind of a hope or some kind of a blessing, but it'll leave you empty. It won't correct. It'll only deter you even further away, so that you'll still turn back and say, vanity of vanities, I've wasted all of my time, and you'll be exhausted because you're looking for the answers. You're looking for the hope. You're looking for something that'll make you feel peace, but you'll not find it apart from any source than God and his word. So we are exposed to God, and he pricks us like an ox goad. And we need that. We need that conviction. Number two, look what he said next in verse 11. I absolutely love this one. I love them both, but this one's so good. He said, and as nails fastened by the masters of assembly. So he speaks of the word of God being like nails. Now, to me, that, you know, initially when I was studying that, I thought to myself, well, a nail would be almost like an ox goad. It reminds me of the kids. They went to the science center in Oklahoma City, and when they got back after the preaching, the kids had a lot of fun. They had a lot of activities. So while we're in the preaching, the kids are doing their kid, they called it kids conference. And so Thursday, they took them to the science center during the conference. And when they got back, I asked Kaylin after the services, I said, what was your favorite part of the science center? And she said, oh, they had a bed of nails there. And that was my favorite. And Kaylin would probably say something like that. Your favorite thing was the bed of nails. She's like, oh, I like the bed of nails. You know. And so when you see this, you think, well, is a bed of nails sort of like the goad? Is it saying God's pricking you? But he's not saying that. And if you study out the phrase here and just the idea of a nail, what it means to say is that it fixes you. And that's what nails do. When you nail something to a wall or nail a strap to a post or something like that, what you're doing is you're fixing it to that wall, or you're fixing the strap to the post. Here's what God is saying. Not only will my word prick you and tell you you're on the wrong path and you need to get back on the path I want you to be on, or the right path, the path that doesn't lead you to vanity of vanity, right? God's path. But it'll also, the more you're exposed to God's word, the more it will fix you in your beliefs. The more it will nail you, or it will cause you to become fixed in your doctrine. God says, yes, it'll prick you, it'll convict you, but it'll also fix you. It'll make you have a strong foundation. It'll make you so that you're not like a house that's built on the sand. And you get out in the world and it's shaky, and the storm comes and it breaks you down. It breaks your faith down. Why? Because you haven't been in the Word enough. What we need is God to prick us. And we get off into this world and we're not in church and we're not in the Bible and we're not studying, and we hear sermons about it all the time, right? And the preacher says, you need to be in the Word. You need to be preaching. You need to be exposed to the Word of God every day, not just on Sundays. And we say, amen, preacher, amen. And I need to be in the Word. But then Monday comes, and guess what we forgot to do? Well, I'll do it tomorrow. And then Tuesday comes. Oh, I'll do it on Wednesday. And oh, you know, God understands. I'm really busy, and we'll just pick it up on Sunday. And we think that because when we show up to church, and by the way, both of those things happen when you're at church. He pricks you, and he helps you to be fixed, and he builds foundation. But what we need is exposure to God's word each and every day. We need it at church, and that's why we have more church services, because the more God will prick us. You come on Wednesday, God will prick you more. You come on Wednesday, God will fix you more. You come on Sunday school, same. Sunday morning, Sunday night. The more church you come to, the stronger you'll be, the stronger foundation you'll have. And then when you go to the word of God each and every day, as well as being in church, you're going to be strong. You're going to have conviction. You're going to be touched by God. You're going to have a kind of, you know, encouragement, a well of water that's starting to spring up in you. Each and every day, it's a revival that God can, that can only come in your life through the Word of God. And when we avoid it, or when we neglect it, then we're not going to be pricked. And we're going to become more comfortable in our sin. By the way, you'll get on that road, the road of life. And it could be any sin that's out there, anger, frustration, lust, anything that's out there in this world. The less exposed you are to God's word, meaning you're not in church and you're not reading like you should, you'll get stuck, and it'll take you all the way up to the axles. And you'll wonder, how do I get out of this? It's not complicated. You need the word of God. You need the word of God, the preacher, let's call it the word of God, the deliverer of the straps, right? The preacher's going to back up in there, and we're going to strap the word of God up to you, and it's going to pull you out. And that's what we need, his word. We need to be exposed to it. We need to be in his house as much as possible. You're like, well, sometimes it can't be avoided. But you know what cannot be? You know what? Let's see. How can I say this? Do you know what you can do and not avoid? And there's nothing that can stop you from doing what I'm about to say. And I'm not just going to say read your Bible every day. Because that's one thing that you can do. And there's no, you have no excuse not to read your Bible every day. Do you eat every day? Paul said that or was it Job? I can't remember. One of those two guys said that he deemed God's word more important than his necessary food. So let's just make God's word first. You know, so there's no excuse there. But that's not even what I'm saying. Do you know what you could do every day? Is you can pray that God opens the door so that you could be at church more. Like, well, I'm just busy and have all this stuff. You know, you could pray and say, God, you know I need it to be in church. You know I need it because I'm going to get myself stuck and I'm not going to be able to get myself out of it. And the only thing that's going to get me out of it is you, your word and your prick and your word bringing that fastening and foundation in my life. I just need it. And God, will you change my schedule? Will you work in my life so that I can be here and help remove all the excuses so that I'm where you want me to be? You know, sometimes it's not that it's unavoidable. Sometimes it is that we are not making the efforts. My brother called me on the way back from Oklahoma City last week. And, you know, he calls me from time to time. And sometimes I miss his call, so he gets aggravated with me. And so when I do answer, he always says the same thing. Oh, look who decided to answer the phone. He always says that. I'm like, come on. I answer the phone at least, you know, 1 out of 10 times. So, no. So we chit-chat for a little while, and he asks, well, how's the boys? And I'm like, oh, they're doing good. And he said, how's Arizona? And he always calls me a traitor, you know. Every time I moved, you know, I was in Missouri, and he's like, you're a traitor. You know, and then I'm in Arizona, so I'm a traitor to Arizona. But he asks, how's Arizona? And we talk a little bit about that. But then in this conversation, he said this to me. He said, hey, will you pray for my father-in-law? And I said, sure. His name's Tom. And I said, I've known Tom since I was a little kid, that we all went to the same church. And I said to him, I'll pray for him. What's going on with him? He said, well, you know, he has some blood issues, but he has some serious diabetic issues as well as a few other things. And he went to the doctor, and his doctor said that he just has a few more weeks to live. And I was surprised by that because he's not really old or any. I mean, old meaning to the place where, you know, you would think, okay, he's drawing nigh to death. I mean, it was surprising to hear that, is what I'm trying to say. So he said, the doctor said this to him, Tom, you're just a few weeks away from leaving this life. And there's only one thing that'll extend your life. But I will tell you, what I'm about to say will extend your life by a few years if you'll do it. And then he said this to Tom. He said, you need to start exercising, and you need to start eating the right food. And if you do those two things, this very well possibly could extend your life, not just by months, but by a few years. And so when he got home from that appointment, Tom was sitting in his recliner like he always was. And his wife, Jo, came to him and said to Tom, Tom, do you want to die? And Tom said, no, I don't want to die. And then just like a good wife would say, then get off your rear. Listen, God can move your soul. He can move your soul. How does he do it? His word. He pricks us. He speaks to us, right? And he shows us when we're wrong. God this morning is not neglecting to prick you. He will show you that you've been wrong. He will show you when you have an attitude problem. He will show you when you have pride in your life. He'll prick you. He'll say something like this. You know, you're in this rut and you have this issue in your life, and I've been pricking you and I've been trying to get your attention and I've been trying to show you, and you've been fighting against that, and you've been like Saul kicking against what I'm trying to do in your life. And he's revealing that what you have had is you've had pride. You have not had an ignorance, because you've been in the Word, you've been exposed to the Word, you've been in church, you've known what God is saying. And God is saying, when you're exposed to me, when you're exposed to my Word, it's not about the preacher, it's about the Word of God. And he says, this will happen when you show up. And the Word of God is clear. And God, by the way, God says, when my Word is being declared, I will prick you like a goad. And so I declare to you this morning that it is likely that God's pricking you. And so the problem isn't that you don't know what God wants you to do. The problem isn't that you didn't go to the doctor. The problem isn't that you don't know what medication to take. The problem isn't that you don't know what prescription that God is applying to you. The problem is that you will not get up and do it. You won't move. God says, listen, do you want to die? Is this what you want? And you say, no. Then get up and do what I'm telling you to do. He won't make you. He won't move you. He won't teleport you. You have to listen to him, and you have to let him work in you. You have to let him show you what he wants you to do, but then you have to move. You have to move. You have to make the move. When you think, well, you know, if God wants me to do it, then he'll make me do it. No, he won't. He will show you what he wants you to do. He will make it so clear through conviction and the pricking of the Holy Ghost that it will be very clear to you. Now it's up to you to do it. And so then we have the pricking of God, the work of God, as he's guiding us, pulling. And by the way, that's the straps pulling up to us and showing us just the way he wants us to go. And then he fastens us, doesn't he? As we let him move us, he continues to bring us back to that place where we, you know, we stray, don't we? Have you ever surrendered and then went back? I mean, if you're a Christian, you've done that. You surrendered and then you went back. Well, God fastens us. He helps us to be secure and have that foundation. So we come and we hear from God and his word, and he brings us back to him, and he strengthens us in our belief, in our doctrine, in our standard, in what we know God wants, how he wants us to live, and the faith that he wants us to live by. My cousin used to, he only did this once, but he was mean, by the way. Let me just preface this story by saying that. And I don't know why I hung out with him. He shot me with a BB gun once. Like, we were hunting. I think I told you that story. But we were hunting, well, anything that would move and we could shoot it. But we couldn't find any animals. So he pointed the BB gun at me. And he said, run. So, I mean, he's like 4 years older than me. So what do I do? I'm like, I'm not going to run. He said, okay, I'll just shoot you right here. I'm like, okay. So I ran. And he got me right in the backside. So, yeah, that's my cousin I'm about to tell you the next story about. So it won't surprise you what I'm about to say. So one time, I think he was bored, he wrapped me up in a blanket and then sat on me and watched an entire cartoon while I'm wrapped. Raise your hand if you're claustrophobic. You get claustrophobic, right? Okay. So just imagine being wrapped up in a blanket. You can't move your arms and your entire body is just like covered with this comforter. And then he's sitting on you so you just can't move. And he watched a whole cartoon, 30 minutes. And I'm there, you know, felt like stuck. Same cousin. We're running. You know, it wasn't the BB gun thing, but we're at Grandpa's pasture and we're running. And I got my new shoes on and there was mud pile ahead and I didn't see it. And so I'm running and I hit that mud pile and my foot sank like all the way up to my middle shin in my new shoes. My mom was not happy about that. Pulled my foot out and my foot came out, but the shoe stayed. You know, so now I've got to reach in there and find the shoe and pull it out. And it was a nasty, nasty thing. I told you that to say this. Sometimes we get wrapped up in our sin or in our tendency. We get stuck and we want to get out of it. And we try all these other ways, but you'll never get out of it. Like, I've heard messages about the Word of God so much. Then why won't we get up and do it? We know what to do, but yet we neglect it anyway. We don't read the Bible like we should, and we don't study like we should. By the way, it's not the same thing to read the Bible and then to study the Bible. We're not talking about the same thing. And by the way, God doesn't a lot in the Scripture teach us to read the Bible. He teaches us to meditate on the Bible. You know, that's where the answers are, meditating. Because it internalizes. God speaks to our heart. He pricks us and He strengthens us at the foundation in His Word that way. And so what we need to do is take the things that we know and we need to go home and apply them. We need to pray that God can get us in His house more. We need to pray that we can be exposed to the Word of God more. Because what happens is He gets us out of the rut. He straps, he hooks up to our life with the straps of His Word and He pulls us out of those ruts. And He does it through His Word. I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm thankful for the change that it's made in my life. I wouldn't be here without His Word, and you wouldn't either. And by the way, His Word is what brings us back. Because we know that we need to hear from Him, and we know we need Him to strengthen us. And let me finish by saying what I said at the start. What we need is God to move our soul. We don't need Him to just move us emotionally. We're not looking for an experience with God. Did you know a lot of people come to church and that's what they're looking for? They're looking for an experience with God. And there'll be some services that we have here and maybe the music is just alive and it's moving in that sense and our emotions are moved, we're touched, and God uses those things. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. We don't want to just be moved emotionally. We don't want to just be broken emotionally. What we want is for God to move our soul. Because that's the kind of move that pulls us out of the ruts, not the emotions. And so the only thing that will pull you out of the ruts of life is God's Word. And so you need to be in it, and you need to be exposed more to it. And if you can be here, you need to be here. Not because I said, but because this is what strengthens us. This is where the answer is. And so let's pray that God helps us to be affirmed in that, that God can move our soul. And He uses His Word to do that. Father, we love You this morning. We're thankful for how You speak to us and strengthen us where we're weak. And I think about that story that my brother told me about Tom. And my heart, it hurts for Tom. And even right now, God, as we're praying, we pray for Tom that he'll take that advice from his doctors, that he'll get up and he'll exercise and he'll change his pattern of eating And I'm certain that his family would be blessed by that. That's why my brother is asking me to pray about it, that he would do this. And then, Lord, it reminds us of the chance we have for you to work in our life. And so I pray that you would help us to be strengthened. I pray that you'd help us to be pricked. I pray you'd help us to make the decision to be in your word every day. And if possible, Lord, to be in your house all the times. And Lord, if it's just not possible for some because of various reasons, I pray that we would be burdened to pray about it. Not because of ambition or not because of some kind of expectation like the Pharisees would expect, but because we know this is where the strength is. We know that your word is where the answer is. This is what gets us out of the ruts. This is what moves this right here. Lord, you know this, but we thank you for it. But this is what moves our soul. And so I pray that you'd help us to be affirmed by that. Convict us and help us to be strengthened, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.